Well, thank you for being here this morning, and I hope you've had a good week. I told our early service folks that maybe we should have started the service with an altar call to repent for overeating, but it's been a good week. It's good to see you here this morning, and I realize it's still a holiday weekend. Tomorrow does begin a new year for us. I want to share with you this morning something the Lord began speaking to me this past Wednesday morning, December the 27th. I was up. I'd been praying. I looked at the clock. It was 4:44, and I'd been just seeking the Lord at praying a prayer that I've been encouraging you recently to start praying. Lord, help me to hear what you want me to hear. Help me to see what you want me to see. Help me to know what you want me to know. Help me to understand what you want me to understand, and so forth. And I really had in mind, Lord, as the new year is approaching, you know, what would you have me hear? What do you want to show me? And in His grace, He began showing me some things, and I began hearing some things. And I do want to preface my remarks by encouraging you, please discern what I'm sharing this morning for your own life, and if your spirit bears witness with it, because when this started coming, I tried to faithfully write down what I was seeing and hearing as best I could. Some of these were thoughts that were coming into my mind, some were things I was actually seeing, and some things had more of an audible feel to them. It's hard to explain this sometimes when you feel like the Lord's speaking to you. But I always want to carry that humbly in the sense you weigh it. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Let Him weigh what I'm sharing with you this morning. And I will be sharing some from the written word. You don't have to pray about that. You just go ahead and receive that straight up, okay? And so with those remarks made, I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to be our teacher this morning. And Lord, again, I would ask that you would show us what you want us to see this morning. That we would hear what you want us to hear. That we would know what you want us to know. And that we would understand what you would have us to understand this morning for this season that we are stepping into. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Back in September, with the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the overarching word seemed to have been the year of the open door, which, indicates that we should be very sensitive to those kairos opportunities, the doors that the Lord may open, and so forth, and expect those doors to open. So I encourage you to continue to pray. If you feel like you have a word from the Lord and you're getting resistance, then you speak for those doors to open and so forth. I have four different messages, and I'll use the term messages. I'll use that loosely in the sense of things I feel like the Lord spoke to me. And I know some of them may be very particular to me, but I believe they were also to be shared with you here at Grace House, and again, apply it as you're led. I want to share with you, I'm entitling today Prophetic Perspectives for 2024. Out of what happened in my time with the Lord this past Wednesday morning, and I'm just going to jump right in. And the first thing that I want to share with you is out of Joshua chapter 5. This is just a preface where we're going this morning. This is the occasion in Joshua's life. He had led God's people across the Jordan. And now the city of Jericho, the walled fortress city, was before them. And Joshua, we pick up in verse 13, it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Later, I'll pick up on this because God begins to give him strategy of how to take Jericho. But here's what I want you to notice as we step into this morning. That here's Joshua. He had seen the miracles of God. Not only the parting of the Red Sea, but just recently the parting of the Jordan River. He had seen the manna come down from heaven. He had seen the wall of fire. He had seen the plagues in Egypt. He had seen God's mighty signs and wonders. And now he's leading God's people into what lay ahead of them. But he's confronted with a man whose sword is drawn. And Joshua, who's courageous, he comes up to the man not knowing friend or foe. So are you for us or are you for our enemies? He identifies himself. I'm the commander. I'm not taking sides here. I'm on the Lord's side. And I find that so intriguing. Because Joshua is being led by the Lord, but here's this encounter with the commander of the Lord's army. In other words, heaven's help was already on the scene. Now Joshua is becoming aware of it as this commander speaks to him. But he's got the lines drawn, our side, your side. And he lets him know, I'm neither, not your side, not their side. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm here by the word of the Lord. And I believe that's a word for us now. That it's important. There's so many opinions about this, that, and the other. What's important is what does God say? Listen, we may know the Lord, but that doesn't mean heaven adjusts to you. We are to align with heaven and to adjust to heaven. A lot of people think, well, this is my good idea. I've got a good opinion, and God bless it. But that's not the way it works. And Joshua is being reminded, you are to proceed forward based on what the Lord is saying. Because it's what he says counts. And so, with that as a backdrop, let me begin to share the words that came to me this past Wednesday morning. The first thing I want to mention, and I'm just describing it, is walking on stilts, live, to live, that were to live from the throne room. Okay, now a little differently this morning, I'm actually going to read what I began literally while I'm sitting there. I began typing this out as it was coming, and I'm just going to share this with you. Okay, so I want to be as faithful to this as I can. I saw myself walking on stilts. Then I began to hear, you've got to learn to walk above all the distractions and things happening around you in the natural. You must learn to live from the seated place. It begins here in the seated place. What you live on must proceed from the throne room. Too often, my servants live on morsels instead of meals. Fragments instead of fullness. There is more in the place of intimacy. Rushing into war without resting in my presence preempts my strategies for your victories. The sin of presumption occurs when you respond without asking and when you proceed without prayer. Living from the throne room positions you to live with a higher, more holy field of view. And then there was silence, a pause. And so that was just coming. It began with me seeing myself. I remember my teenage years when my cousin and I were helping our dad build houses. There were times we'd get two before us and we'd make us a set of stilts to walk around on. You know, and I remember that when I saw this image about when I was walking on stilts. What they do is they elevate you to see farther than you can see where you currently are. And the Lord is calling us up to a higher level of living. In this word, to live from the seated place. And I always check when I'm getting words, Lord, is this consistent with your word? Let me share Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now why did he do that? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So here the scripture tells us we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and God wants to manifest his grace in his kindness toward us in our position in Christ. We need to live from up there, not down here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, if we're invited to come into the throne of grace, then that means we don't need to assume that in every moment that we're where we need to be as far as being able to receive from the Lord. This is taking the initiative to, by faith, to realize where I'm really living from is the heavenlies. My true seat of life is I am seated with Christ in God's throne room. And so I can confidently now ask God for grace to help me with whatever's going on down here. See, I can receive from there what I need here. And by being there, getting God's perspective, he has an awareness of what I really need instead of me presuming to inform God and telling God what he needs to do to get me out of this bind, or how he needs to move and how he needs to work to make things happen, to orchestrate. You know, God doesn't really need commandments going vertical toward him. We position ourselves humbly before him on the merits of Jesus Christ, and we can have absolute confidence he will move toward us in mercy and move toward us in grace to assist us and to help us with whatever it is that we are in need of. And Father knows best. So I found this word to be convicting. I'm the pastor here, and I'm expected to spend a lot of time in the Word and a lot of time in prayer. And I try to do that. Usually my first 5 or 6 hours of the day are in prayer or in the Word, or in simultaneously back and forth. I try to give myself to that. I've been in a season where I felt a deeper call into this place of which I'm speaking, and yet the Lord speaks to me about I've got to learn to live above the distractions. But I don't think that's just a word for me. It is a word for me. It's a word for us all. That we can be distracted by what's going on in the natural, begin to react to situations, and we are, this word says, rushing into war without resting in my presence preempts my strategies for your victories. Not taking the time to consult and go before the Lord and to hear him. He says presumption is proceeding without praying. You know, when you respond without asking and proceed without prayer, is how the word came to me. That it preempts your victory. In other words, the Lord wants to put keys in your hands and give you strategies, maybe through a dream or through a word, a prophetic word, or the written word comes alive and you get wisdom about how to handle the situation. He promises us this, and Hebrews chapter 4, 16 is a beautiful invitation for us to have a yes in our heart to the Lord in order to get what we need to do, what we need to do. Lord, help me to hear what I need to hear, see what I need to see. Not only praying that prayer, but positioning ourselves and listening. and watching and praying, seeing and hearing. It's important because Jesus said in John 5, as I say so often, I only do what I see my Father doing, and what I speak is what I hear Him speaking. Watching and praying, hearing and seeing. And so that's important. So to me, this is a call to a place of intimacy, that we've got to get an elevated view of life, of God's perspective. And again, not only is this is a call to intimacy, but it's also about identity. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to this, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The spiritual blessings are discovered in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus and then delivered to you into your circumstance here in the realm of earth. We live in this realm on the meat we receive from the other realm. So this is a call of intimacy, and there will be a relationship between the authority that you and I walk in here in the earth realm and the level of intimacy we have with the Lord. This is a warning against just trying to grow intellectually in the Lord. It's to grow relationally, not only learning the word of the Lord, but learning the ways of the Lord. And that comes about through intimacy. Intimacy with the Lord. Let me give you an example in Scripture of this. In Acts chapter 19, there was seven men who were sons of a man named Sceva, and they were itinerant exorcists. And they were in Ephesus. This is where Paul was ministering. He had been seeing a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles. And these seven men came upon a man who was indwelt by the demonic spirit, and they tried to cast him out, and they couldn't. As a matter of fact, the demon in the man started talking to them. And here's what he said. They said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I adjure you, come out of him. And he basically said, I ain't coming. And he said, Jesus, I know, Greek word gnosko, I have an intimate relationship with Jesus. He was in the presence of Jesus in eternity past before he was booted out of heaven. He knew Jesus. When Jesus walked into town, demons started fleeing. He said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. Different word. I'm strongly acquainted with Paul. But I don't know who you are. He ripped their clothes off, beat them up, and they ended up running out of town naked, beaten up by a demon. You see, they knew about Jesus, but they did not know Jesus. There's a difference in just having some knowledge about the Lord and having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And our level of intimacy will impact the level of authority in which we live our lives. We will see more of heaven manifesting in the earth realm if we spend more time in the heavenly places. And that's important for us to understand that. And I believe that's part of what's going on in this word here, because it's the throne room. Who lives in the throne room? The one who wears the crown. Who wears the crown? The king. The one who has all rule and authority. And you and I are invited to go into that throne room where there is the eternal highest level of governmental authority that will ever exist anywhere. And you and I have access to that authority. And we access this through intimate relationship with God the Father in the name and on the merits of His Son Jesus Christ. Our identity in Christ, we have to root ourselves in that and spend time there in God's presence and build that relationship, that intimate relationship with Him. So I feel a much stronger call to that end. Colossians chapter 3, Paul said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. See, that's the hand of power and authority. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Every one of us knows the warfare of keeping our mind where it needs to be kept. Even here this morning, it's easy for your mind to head somewhere else. Where am I going to eat lunch? How much is Alabama going to beat Michigan? You know, all these kinds of things. Your daily distractions. But we've got to mature in this to where we diligently do what's necessary to position ourselves in the presence of the Lord and come to know Him more deeply. He's willing, ready, and invites us to do so. Your 2024 will be much more blessed if you will spend more time in a seated place, and so will mine. So I encourage us to take this to heart. And I was moved by this. You've got to learn to walk. That word learn that was given to me twice in this, I've gone back over it numbers of times. You must learn to live from the seated place. Not just run in and out, but to develop a greater sense of the consciousness of God, that you are in His presence at all times, that He is with you, and to live from that place. He never has emergencies. And the Bible tells us, you want to live in perfect peace? Keep your mind stayed on Him. That's what it says in Isaiah. So, that's walking on stilts, live from the throne room. So, Lord, help us all going forward to elevate in that sense, to aim higher, to understand more deeply who we are, and to spend time in Your presence. Then secondly, I want to talk about the word that came, because as I waited, then I began to hear the Lord speaking, and it had to do with the wine being in the cluster and the foot soldiers. And this one's shorter, but let me read it to you. This is what was coming to me, and you discern it. The wine is in the cluster. In this season, I will begin to gather foot soldiers from different churches together to form a cluster where the new wine will begin to flow. These will be in an alliance that moves on assignment to strategically unearth hidden treasures and overthrow demonic structures. These units of foot soldiers will be trained to operate in rapid response to what the Spirit is saying and will seize the Kairos moments that usher in breakthroughs. Think spiritual SWAT teams. Now, when I heard that the wine is in the cluster, of course I knew that was in the Scripture, so I ended up going to Isaiah 65 and reading that. Let me read Isaiah 65 verse 8 for you to anchor this. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. Now, this was a word to Israel, and about how God would work through a remnant, but how, you know, there was judgment coming, but there was going to be a remnant, and so forth. But he makes the statement, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. There is a blessing of the Lord in the cluster. Now, the picture here is a cluster of grapes. Now, if you would imagine we were grapes here this morning, you're sitting there, you're a sweet, sweet, sweet grape, and hopefully if somebody puts the squeeze on you, something sweet will come out. But this Scripture tells us that when you get a cluster together, there's a blessing in the cluster that's not in the individual. So this word here about the foot soldiers and the alliance and the coming together, there's a blessing in this. Now, I believe When I, as soon as I received this and written it down, I realized this is already unfolding. It's a word for this season, sure, but it's already been happening for a while now. The All in Alabama movement, there's been regional prayer meeting where people from different churches are coming together seeking the Lord for strategy for the regions. And our prayer groups have been going out on assignments. And I appreciate, I get feedback from these groups. At times I'll get calls asking about things. And it's just wonderful that people are meeting and praying and moving on the word of the Lord. But we're going to, I'm feeling there's going to be a great intensification about this. Not only here, but I know Melody up in Lawrenceburg, that region up there, they've been stepping into this. And there's a group up in Waynesboro, up in that area, and they've been stepping into this. And it's just wonderful how God is doing this. But I believe we're going to see things go to a whole different level. And what really encouraged me was this word that says, this alliance will move on assignment to strategically unearth hidden treasures. And secondly, overthrow demonic structures. So by faith, I think we should press in and really believe that God's going to begin to unearth or reveal to us hidden treasures. I believe this is specifically for a Grace House as well. There are people in our midst that there's treasure God's going to reveal. Things are going to come forth out of you that maybe you didn't even realize was in you. And maybe it's that other people haven't realized it's in you. But we're going to begin to see those things begin to manifest and break forth in our region. There's going to be treasures in these alliances that come together. And the word said to usher in breakthroughs in those Kairos moments. In other words, there's time when God sets things up where there's a season where it can happen. It couldn't happen before, and it won't happen afterwards, but in that set time, it can happen. That's Kairos. It's an opportune time when God is positioning things to usher in breakthrough. So be sensitive to that as you're praying, and as God leads you to join with others to pray about specific things. And I see that type of cross-pollination happening even in the congregation and then with other people beyond here as well, where you're getting a burden about something and you'll meet somebody else that's burdened about that, and the next thing you know, you've got a cluster. Now all of a sudden, there's the anointings come together, revelation begins to flow, strategy begins to be birthed, and all of this to be done in order, and part of the word was the training, so that's something we really got to press in on, is a higher level of strategic intercessory training of operating in this way, because there can be some unhealthy practices out there that can actually hinder what the Lord wants to do. So it's important that we move based on the Scripture in authority and by the Spirit. So the new wine is found in the cluster. I know that recently Callie had shared, and she stepped into this where she had been praying, and the Lord began to give her a strategy about a CD where there's a spontaneous music, and then the prophetic words that have been spoken over the region and over the state would be set to this music, and then in that there would also be prayer and prophecy. And so she got that, but she stepped in it, and then there's been several people I know in the congregation that we've met with her in recording studio in Athens, working on getting this together to make it available for people to listen to understand the prophetic words that have been released over the area, and also to have the anointing in them awakened and stirred to step into what God is calling us to. So all of this will unfold over time, and I think it's important for us to realize where we are in time right now with this. So this first word was about intimacy. To me, this one's more about unity. It's almost like you put these two words together is getting in the presence of the Lord and, you know, getting your own identity anchored and learning the ways of the Lord. And then as the Spirit unites you with others, then these SWAT teams can go out with the anointing and authority to operate in ways that we haven't been able to previously. So this is important, the wines in the cluster and the foot soldiers. All right, the third area, and this would be the one that I found to be a little bit more perplexing. just because of the nature of the word, after I'd received this second one, and I continued to pray and I wait a while, and then I heard the Lord tell me to direct me just to go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. Well, I knew 2 Thessalonians 2, and it was about, I realized that's about the man of sin and Paul correcting the church at Thessalonica, who had been told the Lord had already returned and all of that. He said, listen, when I was with you, I told you that that's not going to happen. The son of perdition, the man of sin has to be revealed, the lawless one. In other words, a reference to the Antichrist. And so that passage is about the second coming and our gathering together to him. That's how the chapter starts. And Paul reminds them of what he previously said. But when he gets down to verse 12, he says this, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what I found perplexing is, Lord, why this verse 12, you know, I went back and I'm going to read those to you as well just to set the context. Let's go starting at verse 8 after he's told them about what he's reminded them, what he had told them. And he says in verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, be revealed. In other words, be seen for who he really is, whom the Lord will overcome with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Pause a moment. Here he's telling us about this lawless one being revealed. Because people aren't going to believe he's a lawless one. They're not going to believe he's a son of perdition. They're not going to know he's the man of sin when he starts manifesting. The world's not going to know him that way. They're going to believe he's Christ. Read Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. Daniel saw this centuries before Jesus was ever born. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24 when he talked about the abomination of desolation when someone would enter the temple and claim to be God. Paul is talking about this same event in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he even mentions that, if you read those early verses, that he will enter into the temple and claim to be God himself and will be worshipped as God. The beast. The Antichrist. Let's go a little higher for a moment and look back on the big picture, okay? When God sent His Son Jesus, we've been memorizing this verse. He was born of a woman. He came in the flesh. Jesus was God incarnate. Peter later got a revelation. Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus was God incarnate. God come in human flesh. All right? Agreed? I mean, you need to say amen on that one, because if you don't believe that one, we're not Christian. In eternity past, Lucifer wanted what? To be worshipped as God. When he came into the garden, what was his first deception? If you eat this, you'll be like God. He was projecting his desire on humanity in order to reach his desire. The Bible tells us clearly that when Jesus came, he came in his own received him not. They didn't recognize him. He was just the boy from Nazareth. And the truth is, the Jewish people, they are still waiting for their Messiah to come. I'm not talking about Messianic Jewish people. But the Jewish people, Orthodox Jewish people, they're still believing their Messiah, he's never come, he's yet to come. But we know Jesus came, he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So in the end times, the devil's going to rinse and repeat. and do what he's always wanted to do, and God's going to allow him to do it. The gospel is going to be preached to the nations. People will have an opportunity to hear about the true Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, he's coming back. Now, I'm not going to get into all the differences that are in the room about how we divide up the coming of Jesus. I'm just staying with what Paul said in the first verse of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, I'm going to talk to you about the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together unto him. That seems pretty clear. And he said, but the Son of Man won't be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And there's a lot of different ideas of what that is. But again, let's look at the big picture. Jesus hasn't come back yet, known only to the Father, but Peter did tell us the reason the Lord's delayed his coming. He's wanting more people to be saved. Isn't that what he says? He's not willing that any should, but God's not slack concerning his promise about his coming. Isn't that what he says? Am I being true here? He's not slack. Why? He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So that's an indicator we got that the gospel's being preached, God's wanting people to be saved, but this tells us there'll come a time when people could have been saved. They've heard, but they reject it. And then what does God do? He sends a strong delusion. Well, how? That don't seem right, that a holy God would do that. Did you notice the term that Paul uses here? Notice what he said. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perished because they didn't. There's an unrighteous deception. Why did he say because of deception? Why did he tag it unrighteous deception? Because now he's telling us about how God will send a strong delusion. In other words, God's going to allow them to believe the lie. Right now, there's a general grace through the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit attends. When somebody hears the gospel, he's there moving on a heart, opening, giving an opportunity for people to be saved. But when they slam the door on it, there's coming a time when things are going to so intensify, the gospel is going to be so rejected, it's like the paint's dry, the deal is done, the door is closed. They believe a lie. And Jesus even said that even the elect, it would be so hard that even the elect, if he did not come, you know, if he didn't sew it up quickly, so to speak, that it would be, they wouldn't be able to endure. So it's a real intense time of deception. That's where we get into the mark of the beast and all that. Now, I personally think the restraint right now, who is deceiving people? Now, I'm not saying the Antichrist is on the scene, and that's not what I'm saying, this word I got from the Lord. I don't think that's what it's talking about. We haven't gotten to that part yet. But I'm needing to set up the context, so please hang with me a few more minutes. In Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus comes back on the white horse, he's got a sword in his mouth. This is he'll consume with his breath the brightness of his coming. Revelation 19, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, click, right like that. Okay? What do you see in Revelation 19? Well, one thing you see is the vultures are gathered. Why? They're about to have a feast because of the people who are going to be destroyed as God unleashes his wrath and at the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to be gathered from the four winds to feed on those that die. That's pretty graphic. As he treads what? The fierceness of the winepress of the wrath of God. It's going to all come down one day. And so the strong delusion and this deception. Okay. And in Revelation 19, you know what else happens? An angel is sent and takes Satan and binds him away from the earth for 1,000 years. Now all of a sudden, the one behind the Antichrist doing the signs and wonders and lying deeds, he's gone. Disempowered. So it's fully revealed. We've been duped. this is the devil. And it's going to all come down. Now, the verse that the Lord told me to focus on, the reason the Lord does this is that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but find pleasure, who had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I was really drawn to that phrase, had pleasure in unrighteousness. I believe what the Lord was drawing me to conclude and to share this morning is, I am not saying the Antichrist is on the scene. I don't know. And no, I don't know who he is. And I don't think you can Google and find out. Okay? But even when Paul wrote and when John wrote, they said the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. We are seeing the foreshadowings of that one who will come. The world is being positioned to acknowledge a Savior, a false Christ, one who says peace, peace, but there will really be no peace. The one who promises everything. The one who will provide everything. You won't be able to buy or sell or anything without His permission, but He'll be made to look grand and glorious. And He will back up what He does. There'll be lying signs and wonders to convince people that He has to be the real deal. The Bible tells us all of this is going to happen. And He will be revealed. He will be revealed. Now, the foreshadowings of this. Then I started hearing, these thoughts started coming to my mind. We must believe what is true, and what is true will be anchored in God's Word. When Jesus comes again, He will consume the lawless one with the breath of His mouth. Revelation 19 tells us a sword will be in His mouth, and He will execute vengeance on the ungodly. Jude prophesied this as well. If what is unrighteous is not just tolerated, but celebrated, having pleasure in unrighteousness, then judgment will rest on it. The Catholic Church this past week or so, by papal fiat, papal decree, blessed their priest to bless same-sex unions. And I'm just saying this phrase, having pleasure in unrighteousness, to even begin to say God is pleased with this. It's one thing when a government just looking at individual rights says, okay, we'll tolerate this and give you the rights to do these things. You've got your right. You know, even God, when He created, you can eat of everything, but don't eat from that tree of knowledge good eat. Now, you can eat from it if you want to, but you'll die if you eat it. I mean, God created humanity with that, okay? But when the people charged with teaching what is true about God and His Word, when people who have spiritual authority stand and begin to declare blessing on what God's Word says He cannot bless, that's dangerous. And it grieves. And listen, I'm so grateful for all the years the Catholic Church has stood for pro-life. Amen? Believed in marriage and so forth. So I'm just saying, this is a dangerous step away because the influence of that is going to affect millions of people around the world to shift what they believe about marriage from being between a man and a woman for a lifetime to being between men and men and women and women. And that, to me, that foreshadows that having pleasure in unrighteousness. It's the same thing that abortion has unleashed on our generation. Of God commanding the womb to be fruitful and multiply and have children, and then we pass laws to exterminate them in the womb. It's anti-God, it's anti-Christ. It's death and not life. It's curse and not blessing. So we have to realize this. And it's important that we understand this. And then I got this word. It says, do your homework. You cannot rely upon the government, secular education, and in a growing number of instances, the church to support you in what you are teaching your children. This is a place for the admonition. This is a place for the admonition. Come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are not to celebrate what God condemns. We are not to sanction and to bless what God cannot sanction and bless, and God does not sanction and bless. I'm talking for our children's sake. Now listen, that when I say come out from among them, I'm not saying don't be connected with believers. I'm not saying don't be in, you are to be in the world but not of the world. We need people in the mountain of education. We need people in that mountain of religion. We need people in the mountain of government, the mountain of business, the mountain of healthcare. We need people in those seven mountains that you've heard me teach about. It's important. But what I'm saying is our allegiance and our alignment can't be with the spirit of the world on these matters. The world's going to be like the world. Sinful people are going to act like sinful people. People that have no regard for the Bible are going to live with no regard for the Bible. But we are called to be seated in the heavenly places. Your position, you are in Christ, who's seated by the right hand of God the Father. He is Elohim. Genesis 1:1, the foundational statement that begins the Bible, echoes this throughout eternity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, everything was created by Him, so we are accountable to Him. This is the year 2024, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all the people therein. That's a word for now. Because He made it all belongs to Him. We adjust to Him. He doesn't adjust to us. We bow before Him. We humble ourselves before Him. He's not our servant. We are His servants. And like Pastor Matt said earlier about a strong back and a soft heart, that's right on with this. Let me tell you, when someone says something that's good and right, we need to amen it, no matter what party says it. When somebody says something that's evil and it's wrong, we need to stand against it, no matter what party says it. Because it's not about this side or that side. It's about what the Lord says. You and I are accountable for that. We will stand before Him. I saw the dead, John said, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. We will give an account of ourselves to God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. It may not be popular, but it's righteous. And the one that stood before Joshua that had the sword in his hand, one greater than he that's returning on a white horse with a sword out of his mouth, will rot the earth one day. And we can have sometimes fun arguing about when that's going to happen and how that's going to happen. But it's a sobering, serious, God-fearing thought of what's going to happen when that day comes. Because it's going to all come down. They all may be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. I personally believe in the year 2008, there was a spirit unleashed on the United States of America that began to bring confusion to the way people thought and think, and it continues to hover over our nation. Some of the most insane ways of perceiving life and thinking. And some of them are very much a twisted, distorted view of truth. And you can just see the enemy taking it and using it to bring about his agenda. Jesus said all these things must come to pass. And then the end will come. Finding pleasure in unrighteousness. So this is a sober word. The last one is called the trapdoor spider and political vomit. So I'm not quite through yet. And listen, I'm just sharing things in the order that I got them. And when I was getting them, I had all kind of feelings going on. But I tried to be faithful. So you discern and you weigh it out for yourself. I had another pause, and I can just continue to pray before the Lord and wait before the Lord. When I began to pray about the nation, the word political came into my mind. I saw a trapdoor spider and knew that the Lord was saying that we had to guard against being lured into the trap of the enemy during this political season. Don't be deceived by appearances. Judge righteous judgment. Let me pause there a moment. This idea of a trapdoor spider, I didn't know a whole lot about it other than it's a spider that springs on its prey. It's very clever. I'm just going to let you see. This is a trapdoor spider. That's a cricket, by the way. That's not the spider. For those of you listening later, they just saw a huge spider come out from under a trap door and captured its prey. And that's the first thing the Lord said. He showed me, he said, I saw a trapdoor spider, and I knew he was saying that we had to guard against this. I'll read on. I felt the Lord was saying that we often move toward those things that tickle our ears, just as some people do false teachers. There are also false political prognosticators who lure people into their den and then spin their webs around you, and you begin to function within the cocoon they have created, and it begins to change you into something different than what you should be. Be led by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord. Avoid being indoctrinated and becoming glassy-eyed by a spirit of ambition and control whose agenda is not from God. Not every flag that flies is being flown in truth. I'll pause there a moment. And I just felt such a weight and a fearfulness on this. This deal of being lured in and your whole mindset being shifted and changed. I've seen this happen to people. Bible believing, love the Lord, love Jesus, and then see them being exposed to the web spinning that takes place, and their whole axis of life now is oriented towards something other than the Lord and what's best for their life, and just pulled off into all kinds of stuff. And some people, they get under that, and then they start repeating what they're hearing and start believing what they previously didn't believe, saying what you thought you'd never heard them say. Well, that's not sin. Or you Christians are the ones who sinners for judging. You know, you're judging when you tell people what the Word says. There's this confusion that's spun around people's mind. And even we well-meaning, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that and lose our focus. Get off track. That goes with the next thing that I started hearing. And this is pretty graphic. This is the next thing that I saw. I'm just seeing this. I'm seeing and hearing. I saw people with microphones in their hands projectile vomiting on people. This is graphic. Just the sights and smells of it is very graphic. The people became sickened by what they were hearing and went into their closets to pray. And as they prayed, a warm shower from above cleansed them. And they stayed there until they heard the Lord's whisper. Let him who has ears hear what the Lord says through His Spirit. Don't be mocked. What a man sows is what he will reap. My word has not changed. Don't be deceived. I'm seeing this, and I'm realizing what the Lord was showing me is when we get under that and feel like we're being vomited on, there's so much venting and vomiting that's taking place on social media, on television, on talk TV, on radio, podcasts, vomit here, vent there, vomiting, all kinds of stuff. If you get under that and you stay under that, you're going to be sickened by it. And the antidote is when you feel that, you feel you need to get in your closet and get in the presence of the Lord. And what I saw was like that warm shower becoming just to cleanse all of that off of you. And you stay there until that peace returns and you hear the Lord. Then you can get up and go. These words to me go together. It starts off with intimacy. You get with the Lord, not be distracted. You learn His ways. You connect with others. You get the firepower of intercessory prayer. You start taking ground. You see things. You see treasures on earth. You see demonic structures overthrown. You have discernment about the big picture of what's going on out there. There's a false spirit. There's an antichrist spirit. There are spirits at work contrary to everything we believe and everything that we stand for. We're to go into the world out of that place of intimacy and with that authority we have in prayer and to make a difference, share the gospel, have that soft heart, love people, minister to people, make a difference in the world, and stay away. This doesn't mean we're not to be political. I'm not saying that. We all need to be political in the sense we need to be voting, and we need to be informed, and you need to vote in alignment with what God's Word says. But I'm talking about getting under a political spirit. There is a strong political spirit that works on the Democratic Party. It works on the Republican Party. It works on the Independent Party. It'll show up at your party if you let it. There is a political spirit. It was present when Christ was crucified. It wed with a religious spirit, and the enemy worked through that to see Christ crucified. But just like God will do in the end, He's going to turn it around. He did that at the cross. But we've got to stay clean, is what I'm saying. And the only way we can stay clean is in that closet, in that place of intimacy. And I feel this strongly. If we will all set our hearts to step into this more deeply in 2024, we're going to see treasures unearthed. We're going to see demonic structures overthrown. We're going to see victory. And we're going to stay unyucked. I mean, aren't you just tired of the yuck that gets on you out there? Aren't you just tired of that sickening stuff that no, let's make it count. Be an intercessor. Be praying. If you're going to have to listen some to stay informed, to help you, you know, to pray and stuff. But don't take a shower in it. You know, don't bathe in that stuff. Keep your robes white. It's been said, if you wrestle with a pig, you're both going to get dirty, but the pig likes it. And one of the methods of the enemy is to pull us into the fray in the fight and get us to joining the fight in carnality and out of our humanness instead of out of our authority as manifest sons and daughters of God in the earth. It's important that we toe the line on this, because we can make a difference. I sense I am through. I want you to stand with me seriously. Thank you. I'm very excited about the year before us. And these are the things the Lord laid on my heart this week. Please remember the things we've been receiving for the last 2 or 3 months about creativity. All that's on the table. I just see all of this converging together. These are just some other areas that I believe the Lord's calling us more deeply into. And we started last year about it being a year of apostolic foundations. And I think we've made some good ground. Not that everything's done. But we want to be faithful to step in to what the Lord is putting before us. And so let's really be praying and step into this new year. And if I could just encourage you to leave in here with one thing, is to become more committed to getting alone with the Lord in your prayer closet. And while you're there, really ask Him to take you deeper in understanding who you are in Christ, your identity. You'll be hearing a little bit more about that in the weeks ahead about our All in Alabama, our alignment and identity and the different things. I'm going to give you some tidbits throughout the month about that. But let's start in this place of prayer and intimacy. Let's not allow the enemy to separate us by any of this other stuff. If the Lord's coming back, isn't it interesting that when He comes back, the first thing He's going to do is gather us together? Let's make it easy for Him. Let's stay together. Let's stay together. Be in unity. Up our firepower. So, Father, thank You for Your words this morning. I pray that it would find a lodging place, a dwelling place deep in our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray You'd move and stir upon hearts that have needs right now. Our prayer team members are coming to the altar area. Just come on up. They'll be here to pray for you if you have a need of prayer. Maybe God's dealing with you about going deeper and you just want to share it with somebody. I want you to pray with me. I'm committing to step into this new year by stepping into my prayer closet. I'm gonna become closer to Jesus, more intimate with Him. Perhaps someone's here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Please come and let someone here share with you from the Bible what you have to do to be saved. It's simple. You just call on the name of the Lord. You can have your sins forgiven, be adopted into God's family, become a child of God. It's called the new birth. It's a step of faith that you take by believing in Jesus. Today's one of those days that the Lord's saying, you can be saved today. We just read there'll come a time when there's people who could have been saved but chose not to be. And we saw what's going to happen. Today is the day of salvation for you. You come if you've never trusted Christ to save you. Father, before we go this morning, may our hearts have that place that the fear of God dwells seriously, soberly, and deeply. May our hearts have that place where Your love's so strong that we refuse to be offended. We refuse to hate, but we respond in love. We respond in redemption. And yet we walk and live righteously. Holy Spirit, may who You are manifest in our life through holiness. Jesus, may we be a friend of sinners as you are. Lord, keep all this yuck off of us. Remind us of what we've heard today. Help us to be good foot soldiers. Help us to be loyal to you, to stand strong, to serve in love, and to be faithful, declaring Revelation 12, that we will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and if need be, not loving our life even unto death. May we be loyal to you, King Jesus. Now in the name of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the first begotten among the dead ones, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, who is seated by the right hand of God the Father, in his name, I charge you to go forth now, be a shining light in this dark world, be salt in this culture to stand against corruption, be a dispenser of the love of God as the Holy Spirit moves through your life. Go out and change this world in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here today. This altar is open. If you have prayer, please come. The worship team's going to worship. Just honor what's happening here at the front. Feel free to linger in fellowship as long as you like. Love you all. God bless you.
Also, remember that you can still sign up to sponsor a child in Guatemala today out in the commons area.